So it's Romans 4, a few verses from the end of the chapter. Romans and chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 13. Romans 4 and verse 13. Let's hear the word of God. Romans 4, verse 13. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words it was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. We thank God for the reading of his word, both Old Testament and New Testament, is the word of the living God. But then when he was 75, God spoke to him and he came to know the Lord. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And when people come to know Jesus at a very old age, they regret all those years that they spent, all those years that they spent not knowing him. But now they do know him. And the great thing is, you're never too old. But he received a promise from God when he was 75 years old. The promise involved him being a blessing to all the nations of the world and himself being made into a great nation of people, and that he would have a son, that he and his wife Sarah would have a son. But he was 75 years old, and his wife Sarah was 65 years old, and they had no children. And he had to wait. He had to wait 25 years to receive the promise of God. But along the way, he received fresh revelations of God. And that's what I want us to focus on this evening. Abraham received fresh revelations of God from 75 years of age, right up until the end of his life. The Lord kept on revealing more and more of himself to Abraham. Now, that's a great encouragement to those of us who consider ourselves to be older people tonight. It's a great encouragement to know that God can still reveal to you new things, fresh things. And it's also a matter of great instruction for younger people. Because if you're young tonight and you say, well, Abraham was 75, I can't even imagine that age, that is so far away. Well, just think of this. It is possible for you to keep going all the way through your life until your old age. it's possible for you to live for the Lord Jesus and through your whole life to learn more and more about him. He will reveal himself to you if you desire to live for him. So it's an encouragement for older people, but it's also a point of instruction for younger people that Abraham, at 99 years old, heard the word of God. So let's have a look at that in Genesis and chapter 17. We're told that when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him. We are never too old to receive fresh revelations of God. Never too old. When Abraham was 75, that's when God first spoke to him. We found that in chapter 12, a few chapters before. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So that was when God first revealed himself. And he said, you've got to leave. You've got to leave your country. And you've got to go to a place that I will show you. And Abraham believed God. Constantly throughout the life of Abraham, we have this little phrase, Abraham believed God. He was told, pack up everything and leave and go to a place that I will show you. It had to be absolute trust in God to lead him and to guide him and to provide for him. And Abraham went. 75 years old. I don't know how you would feel at 75 to be told that you've got to move house. You've got to go somewhere that you'd never known. In fact, you don't know where you're going. And you've just got to trust God to do it. Abraham did. And then the next we hear, he's 85 years old. 10 years have passed. 10 years in the land of Canaan. And in chapter 15, God revealed himself again, a fresh revelation. 10 years later, 85 years old. But chapter 15, verse 1, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. Another great revelation of God. God reveals that Abraham need not be afraid. You know, so often in the Bible, when God reveals himself, he begins with those words, do not be afraid, because he knows that we are afraid. He knows what our hearts are. He knew that Abraham at 85 years old was beginning to be afraid, afraid that God's promises were not going to be fulfilled. Don't be afraid, says God. I am your shield and your very great reward. I'm your shield. I'm going to protect you, Abraham. He was given an assurance that God was with him. And Abraham talks to God and opens up his heart to God. Again, that's a wonderful example, isn't it? He says, Lord, how am I going to be blessed when I don't have a child? And the person who's going to inherit everything is one of my servants. And God assures him that the promise will come to pass. And then in our passage in chapter 17, some more years pass. Another 14 years pass by, and God reveals himself again. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. That's a new revelation. God is revealing himself. Little by little, Abraham is learning more and more about the greatness of this God who he has come to know and to trust. And that's what happens with us. You don't know everything at once. The day that you became a Christian, you discovered so much. Everything was new to you. You discovered the Lord Jesus as your Savior, but you didn't know everything. None of us do. But as we go on in the Christian life, God will reveal more and more of himself to us. The mind and the heart that is willing to know God will find that it is satisfied in a God who reveals himself to us. I am God Almighty, says the Lord. We're never too old to receive fresh revelations. And this is the fullest revelation that Abraham has had so far. He's told that he will receive a great name. He's called Abram, A-B-R-A-M, Abram. Now, Abraham was a lovely name. And when Abram was born, his parents called him Abram. And that meant exalted father. And all the way through his life, for 100 years, or for 99 years to be precise, Abraham carried with him that name. And it seemed to him like a mockery, exalted father. Every time he thought about his name, he realized how ridiculous it was, exalted father. Because he wasn't a father. He had no children. He married Sarah, Sarai, as she was called, and like every young married couple, I presume they married when they were young, we don't know, but they expected children to come along. They didn't come along. And yet, every time Sarai called out to him, Abraham, he was reminded, exalted father, but I don't have any children. And it must have been hard for him. Must have been harder for her. But here he is, 99 years old, and he gets a change of name. And this change of name is even more wonderful because Abraham means father of many. So it's an even greater name with an even greater meaning. Suddenly, it's not just an exalted father of one child. He's going to be a father of many, many. And he is called Abraham. And no one other than God is calling him Abraham. So it's a great name that he receives. And that's a lovely revelation. It's another assurance that God is going to keep his promises. And Abraham's got to keep on believing. And you and I have got to keep on believing. We've got to keep on believing in our lives right up to the end. This is a life of faith, not sight. And it's hard. It was hard for Abraham. It's hard for us. But God gives us his assurances along the way. He reveals himself to us more and more. He's going to be a great nation. Not only a great name, but a great nation. Verse 6 of our chapter, I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. What blessings, what revelations. Abraham is beginning to see that God's purposes are huge. Not just that he should have a child, but that he's going to have many children, many generations, and some of them are going to end up being kings. Wow. A great nation, because he's got a great God. Verse 7, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generation to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. God says, I'm going to be your God, your God. That's very personal, isn't it? Your God. I'm going to be yours, Abraham. You are going to belong to me, and I belong to you. I'm your God. I'm in this relationship with you so that you can say you know me. Abraham was called the friend of God. And isn't that wonderful that God says the same to you and me? I'll be your God. In Jesus Christ, God is our God, and we can call him our God. And Jesus says when you pray, you can call him our Father in heaven, because that's what he is, a great God, and he's your God. And he's promised a great land to live in, Verse 8, the whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. What a wonderful revelation. He's 99 years old, and yet God is telling him new things. Do you expect God to tell you new things? Or do you think you know all that you ever will know? Don't get to that point where you think you know everything that God has to tell you. There is always more to learn of the living God. A great name, a great nation, a great God, a great land. You're never too old to receive fresh revelations of your God. So expect that. When you open your Bible, expect God to speak to you. When you come to worship God together here in this place, expect God to speak to you, because he is a God who speaks. He's a living God, and you're never too old to receive fresh revelations. But the second thing I want to share with you is this: fresh revelations bring greater responsibility. You say, I thought there was a catch, but it's not really a catch, is it? It's what follows on, doesn't it? If God is revealing more things to you, he's going to expect more of you, isn't he? And that's what we find with Abraham. Verse 9, then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is what God is saying. He's saying, well, look, I've made this covenant with you, and now you have a responsibility. Now, this great covenant, this solemn promise that is made, this solemn agreement between God and Abraham is a very one-sided agreement. God is the one who is committing everything to Abraham. But Abraham has his part to play. God gives him a sign of the covenant, and he has to keep that sign of the covenant. It's circumcision. It's not difficult, but it's important because it's a sign of their relationship together. What has God given us? Well, he's given us the sacraments of the Christian church. He's given us baptism and the Lord's table. And he says, keep them. They are my sign of my covenant with you. That is our side of this wonderful agreement. Everything is on God's side, really. He's done all for us. But he says, keep my sign of the covenant, baptism and the Lord's table. And it's Abraham's responsibility to live in the presence of God and to walk worthy, to walk before God and to be blameless. God has loved us in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has saved us. God has forgiven us. God has made us heirs with Christ. God has given us peace and joy and hope and inheritance in heaven. God has given us all of that. And he says to you and to me, live for me. Live for me. Live your life for me. Love me. Serve me. Keep the signs of covenant. Fresh revelations bring greater responsibility. The more you know of God, the greater should be your desire to love him and serve him. But the third thing, the final thing tonight is this. Along with God's commands comes the help we need. Because you see, Abraham, at 99 years of age, is being told things that are going to change his life. He's being told here that next year he's going to have a baby with Sarah. Next year. Would you want to have a baby at 100 years old? I mean, it's hard enough when you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s, isn't it? He's 100 years old and Sarah's 90. And suddenly they got this new life to look after. That's going to be tough, isn't it? But that's what God is saying to him. How is he going to be able to cope with that? And how will he cope with this great nation? that God says he's going to inherit. How is he going to cope with a new land and country to live in? Well, the answer is that God will give him the strength and the help that he needs. And that is all encompassed in that wonderful phrase in verse 1. I am God Almighty. We have a God who is almighty. And you know what almighty means? It means that all might is his. All power is his. There is nothing at all that our God cannot do. He will not sin because he cannot contradict himself. He's a holy God, so he will not sin. But there is nothing that he cannot do because he is almighty. The phrase is El Shaddai. El Shaddai, the almighty, all-powerful God. Nothing that God commands, nothing that God requires of us is impossible because the Lord gives us the strength and the grace to do it. You notice in this chapter how many times God says, I will. Look at verse 15. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be called Sarah. Her name will be called Sarah. And then there's promises. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Go on to verse 19. God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him. And again, with Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful. And then further on in the verse, I will make him into a great nation. Verse 21, my covenant I will establish with you. God says, I will, 7 times in those verses. I will do this. God is the one who commits himself to doing these things. Sarah could easily and properly turn around and say, well, I'm 90 years old. That's impossible. Yes, but what is impossible with man is possible with God. For nothing is impossible for God. And so even this elderly lady at 90 years of age was given the strength to bear a son because God enabled her to do it. And Abraham and Sarah simply had to believe. It was faith. They simply had to trust in their God and to know that when he commands you to do something, he will give you the strength to do it. Think about what the Lord Jesus commands us to do in the New Testament. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But we can't come to Jesus. By nature, in our natural state, we don't want to come to Jesus. We will try everyone else, but not ever go to Jesus. And yet he says, come to me. Why does he command us to do something that we can't do? And then he says, love one another. How difficult we find it to love one another. Why does he command us to do something that is so hard? He says, always pray and never give up. But we find it hard to pray. In and of ourselves, we wouldn't be able to utter a single prayer that would be heard by God. Trust in God, he says. Trust also in me. But we find it hard to trust God. We can't trust God of ourselves. Why does God command us to do things that we can't do? The reason is because with the command comes the power to do it. So when Jesus says to you, come to me, and the Holy Spirit works in your heart, you will come. You will come because you'll be drawn by those cords of heavenly love, because God gives the strength and power to do what he commands. When he calls you, you come. That is how we are here tonight. And if we are believers, that's why we're believers. Because there was a day when we heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. And we came to Jesus, miracle of miracles, we came to Jesus as we were weary and worn and sad. We found in him a resting place. He's made us glad. How is that possible? How can anyone ever be saved? The answer is because when God calls, he gives the power to respond. And the same when he says, love one another, he gives us the power by the Holy Spirit to do that. When he says, pray and don't give up, he gives us the ability and the grace to be able to pray. When he says, trust in me, trust in God, trust also in me, we can do it because of the grace that we're given. And that was how it was with Abraham. He was no different from you and me. He was as weak as you and I are. But God gave him the grace. God granted him the faith to believe and to trust. And he could say, like the Apostle Paul so many years after him, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So this evening, whatever your age, whether you're 99 like Abraham, or whether you're 9, or whether you're somewhere in between, or whether you're younger, God will give you fresh revelations if you seek him. Never think you get to the point where there's nothing more for you to know. There's always so much more. We can always go further up and further in to the things of God. And they are truly wonderful. And our God in Christ, when he commands something, he gives you the grace to do it. So rely on him, not on yourself, not on your own abilities, not on your own wisdom, but on him, because he is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, having everything that you need, you will be able to bear fruit in your life for him. Well, may God give us the grace to live like that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Abraham, for his example as a man of faith. We thank you for Sarah and for the grace that you gave them both when they were well on in years and kept on holding to your promise. We pray, Lord, that we might show the same faith in the same God Almighty. Grant us the grace that we need to serve you and to live for you day by day. We pray that the Lord Jesus might be increasingly more precious to us as the days go by. We pray that you would continue to reveal new and wonderful truths about him to us. And we pray that we might be fervent in our love for him and in seeking the grace to live for his glory day by day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's finish with the wonderful doxology that we have at the end of the book of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.